Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Think.
So you just crack on.
Oh, you prick.
Done me again, haven't you?
Every week. Good evening and welcome to this evening's edition of the Auto No Better podcast. This is, can you believe it, season 3, episode 20 of the main pods. It's unreal. I don't believe
it. I can't believe it.
Bloody hell. Like,
I thought Luke would have been
I'll just come down and see how you are. Jay, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. I'm just coming
excellent.
Out
thanks for being on time tonight.
I were here at 8:30, mate. Bang on.
So where
I
you?
I thought you were all pissed around since then. Smiley up and left.
Luke, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. I'm pretty flabbergasted, actually, that we've made it this far and not been banned from YouTube or, season 3, episode 20. What the fucking hell?
Do you know what the most amazing thing to me of that is that none of us have slapped anybody else within the pod yet. This seems crazy to me.
Jay's nearly had it a couple of times.
Yeah, so have you, mate.
Smarty, how you doing, pal?
I'm all right, mate, thank you. Luke's got more slappable area, though, than you have, Jay.
Yeah, definitely. All that
bomb. Right.
I'm a little bit quicker than that little statue, though.
You wish.
Right. Before we get into I've set us off down a bad path here. I'm going to pull it back. Let's have an intro and we'll get into it.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Auto Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
Before you start, Gilly, who the fuck are those two people on that fucking thing? On that intro, there's, I think it's Stats and Bren, but I can't tell. And I can't tell which is which.
I'm going to have to go back and have a look now. They did zoom past pretty quickly in the intro, although we slowed it down before. I mean, if you remember the first time I made it, there were about 15 of us. We've whittled it down a bit since then.
I can't believe that's the first time I've watched it all the way through.
Right, okay. So, from a perspective of running order, I'm just going to make it up as we go along because it seems like it's been ages since I've run a main pod. I've done some at B&C's, but we'll get into this one.
Auto No Better predictions.
I've got some really bad news to start us off. I'm sorry, guys. Jay's still top. So,
it's the only time I'll be up there. It's the only time I'll be higher up than us lot.
So obviously we played against Brentford at home and we had Jay went 3-0 Leeds and got no points. Smarty went 2-1 Brentford, got -3. Stats went 2-2 draw, got himself 3 points. Shelley Johnson of the fans went 3-3 draw, got 3 points. Joe went 3-2, I went 3-2. Bren went 2-0. Carl went 2-2 draw, got 3 points. Luke went 3-1 Leeds, got no points. Got note from Si, got note from Scotty. I got a 2-0 Brentford from Big Lou, minus 3 points, and a 1-1 draw from Jason, giving him 3 points.
Wow.
Which gives us Jay on 11 points, fans on 10 points, Jason on 9 points, Carl on 8. It's getting worse. Me on 7, Luke on 3, Stats on 3, Smarty on none.
Fucking 3. Go on, Smarty.
Joe minus 1, Bren minus 3.
Well,
Bren, can I just say, former winner of the Predictions League on minus 3, Si on minus 5, LUTV Scotty on minus 7, and LS11 Big Lou on a big minus 10.
Is he just backing us to lose every week?
What that actually means is, without losing any points, I've lost 3 positions in the league. Stats has gone up 1 on the basis of Smarty losing points, and Scotty's got off the bottom of the table to Big Lou. It's a bit of a mess. We've only got one person got more positive points than the bottom has negative points, so it is a bit of a mess. But off the back of that, we did play Brentford, and Luke, I'm going to come to you for what I reckon is probably a more positive spin than most will give. How do you feel?
I'd be surprised if there wasn't a bit more positivity on the back of that Brentford performance, to be fair. I think there's plenty to take out of it. And I said as much last night, I feel like we're on a curvature now. And the things that we were getting wrong earlier in the season and the things that we could see and identify as fans, he's now recognising, albeit it might be too late, and he might have already, he might have left it too late, but defensively, we looked like we're papering over the cracks. You know, they didn't even look, considering they've got two of arguably one of the best strike forces in the Premier League this season, in Tony and Buemo. I thought we neutralised them really, really well. Take into account, Warburg is our best defender now, and he's just come into the club. Adams all over it as per. Ironically, the thing that we were lacking at the weekend was some exciting attacking moves. But even still, we did create quite a few. And although the XG only said that we should have scored 0.49 or whatever it was, I felt there was a goal or two in that game for us on another day. So look, happy with that against an informed Brentford. Lots and lots of positives to take out of it. And when you look at sort of the last 3 league games and the win at Cardiff, there's positives within all those that I think we can use taking forward. So I'm happy. I'm in a relatively good place this week.
Okay, Smarty, from a position of looking at the result, I mean, 0-0. It's been a while since we've had a 0-0. Is it just now about finding balance? We've seen that we can score goals. The goal difference is better this season on the principle that we're shipping fewer and we're not getting tonked and we are scoring goals. So is it just about finding a balance now?
Well, I think we've always tend to give teams a couple of goals anyway, don't we? Regardless of who they are. Even Cardiff, we've managed to give them a couple of goals every time we played them as well. But I think I'm in agreement with Luke. You know, I've been banging the Jesse Marsh out drum for quite some time, as we all know. It's been well documented. But even me in my little negative little canoe, even I can see that it's changing. Even I can see that we're playing better football. The atmosphere at Elland Road was much better as well last night. If we've, like you say, if we
what was going on last night?
Oh, sorry, last game, sorry.
It was at home.
the atmosphere was terrific.
If we can find the balance, like you say, which seems to be happening probably a little bit more, it's difficult to say, isn't it? Because we're either scoring or we're not, or we're conceding or we're not. There has been no balance, but I think now we are starting I don't want to say anything really too much, because you just know we're going to get fucking pumped by someone in a week or so. So it's going to come back on me big style. But yeah, I think we are looking more solid. I think the performances are getting better. I thought the Aston Villa match were a step in the right direction. I thought the Brentford game on a whole was good. I quite enjoyed it, actually, and the first time I've actually been in that stadium for some time and come away from it thinking that were actually all right. But like you say, the balance thing, maybe it is only a little bit away, but how much time do we give it? That's the thing. How long has he got to actually get that balance fully swung over and we start conceding none and scoring loads?
Just on that, Smarty, and I'm glad you've agreed with me for once. But one thing we've all been screaming for is a sense of consistency in the style of play, in our performances, and I think we've had that since even going behind at Cardiff at their place. You know, we've played West Ham, probably should have won that. We beat Cardiff in the Cup, but we absolutely spanked them and should have probably won that 7 or 8 nil. Then we've played Villa, again, great performance. And then we've neutralised two of the best attacking threats in the Premier League and probably arguably should have won that as well. And I know I'm saying should have, would have, could have and all this, but the performances will breed positivity. Form is so difficult. When you're in bad form, in any level of sport, it is really difficult to get out of. And to get that one win will just kickstart the season, and I think that's why I'm being probably a little bit, probably some might say over positive, but I think the reason why is because I can see
the word I think you're looking for. Happy been told many times.
Clip it.
I don't care. We all lead that way, Mott. But you're right. But I think the Cardiff game, people scoff at it, you know. But I think the Cardiff game did a lot for the team's confidence as well. I really, really do. And the team on a whole played much better individually and as a team. The passing, some got a little bit mislaid, but I think the passing, the movement, everything was just a level up on Sunday. I thought it were a better all-round performance. And it's got me, I wouldn't say definitely Marsh in, but it's definitely pulled me more towards the Marsh in camp than it has out, which I've been firmly in for quite some time. I still probably
since
am.
Since
he basically came on board. I think, you know, the next few games, the Forest is a must. It is a must-win game. And I know people don't like to hear that, but I don't care. The Forest is an absolute must-win game. We need to put in a performance because we probably will get stuffed by them scum bastards. And then we've got Everton who will more than likely be on a new manager bounce on the other side of that. So it's a bit of a shit sandwich coming our way yet again. We seem to be in the midst of shit sandwiches this season, but time will tell. But yeah, it's one of them. I hope he does pull it. I hope he does turn it around because I like the guy. My mind's changed, not necessarily on him personally, but my mind's changed on him in regards to the football and the tactics and everything. You can kind of see it starting to work and you can kind of see the penny dropping between the players. I know everyone won't agree, but this is just my opinion. From being in the stands and seeing it, you know, right in front of me, it does seem to be working. It does seem to be coming, but we haven't got that much time, and it needs to hurry up. Is basically all I've got to say.
Yeah, I can't agree with that.
Sayonara, old Jesse. Old
okay. Sayonara. Sayonara, suckers.
So,
sayonara.
Jay, to come to you. So we're playing against the side that beat us 5-2, and we've not conceded. And it did feel like a bit of a better performance. I'm not going to be as positive as Luke and James have been on this one, in as much as I couldn't see the patterns, and I'm not certain that the tactics were what I'd like to see. And you know, it did feel like there were periods where we were just so compressed. But given what they've done to us in the past, and that we've come out of it with a point instead of shipping 5 goals. Is that enough in order to continue breeding a bit of positivity?
I think a clean sheet and a point has to breed some positivity, regardless of anything else that's happened in the context of what we've been getting. But it's interesting you mentioned about being really compressed at times. There was a screenshot, wasn't there, on Twitter, where there's like five of our players, I think, all sort of, they were still in a circle, and you're like, with the ball in the middle. Like when
it was four, and it was a square, James.
You see women dancing around a bag on dance floor. That's what they were like with ball. They were like a group of them. They were great. But it feels a bit like sometimes, it's like kids' football, when you see everybody going towards the ball, rather than sort of being in set positions and holding those positions. And I find that a bit frustrating. But I agree with elements of what Luke and Smarty have said. I think there's evidence that it is starting to work. We have been better in the last few games than we have been previously. But I think the problem with it is, for me, is that even when it does work in itself, I'm not sure the tactics are good enough to get us enough wins to take us where we want to go. But I do believe they're capable of getting us the points to stay up this season.
Okay.
I was disappointed at the end with the point. I will say that. I didn't think that they looked like anything special to say the run that they've been on. And I thought we did really well. And if we can start getting clean sheets...
For 90 minutes.
Yeah,
we did.
If we can start getting clean sheets, then, you know, results should come in theory, because we don't generally have problems scoring at least a goal or two.
See, Jay, so, my problem with this is, and I'm actually going to take a negative spin on it, believe it or not, happy not clapper, or not happy clapper, but we've fucking, we're in a fucking...
I'm scared and confused, I don't want to be here.
We're in a parallel universe, everyone's been the opposite today. Yeah. But no, we've had good performances throughout the season for me, and we haven't picked the points up and you know, lost games. But I think this particular spell of games, almost going back to what I said about consistency, we're seeing a little more consistency. We're not playing well one game and then shit another. We've had four or five games now where we've been probably the better side and should have picked up a lot more points than what we had. So, yeah, no, I completely agree. However, points are far more important than performances, as we all know.
Oh, 100%. Like when you said before, you know, there's a lot of games we should have won, I was thinking, well, you don't stay up on games you should have won. You've got to win the games. You've got to get the points. You've got to come away
from that performance, though, in a positive mood, though. You've got to, even if you're a negative Nigel and that's not your thing, you know, at the end of the day...
Sorry to any Nigels who watch the podcast.
Sorry, Nigels. we penned them in for pretty much 90 minutes. They had their odd, you know, ball out to they seem to be targeting our left-hand side for some reason. Yeah. I don't know why. They seem to be targeting the long balls to Mbuemo. It is what I
say that again, Carl.
Fucking
Mbuemo.
He'd have said Buemo, wouldn't he? Fucking Carlos. And they were limited to what they could do. They were having long shots or having pop shots at Melier. You know, Ivan Toney tried to do what he did against us when they dicked us 5-2, having a little cheeky shot from nowhere. But we penned them in. I mean, it's just unfortunate that Brentford are so good at defending. I mean, that's their game, isn't it? The counter-attacking game, that's what they're built on. That's what they're made for. And we're basically attacking in our little tiny throw a blanket over whole fucking squad of ours against eight decent players. You know, they had two banks of three with the wing backs. I mean, it were an hard job, but I've come away feeling more positive. I'm not as positive as Bandy's making me out to be. I'm still definitely just going to get out of it.
Don't just slightly more here. Positive on that scale. Just
I
slightly.
Pole vaulted into the other
do
side.
We reckon, of the field. Do we reckon Bandy has a fridge full of Stella Artois?
Yeah. No, I don't have a fridge. Okay. He just has it on tap. Got a keg in the fridge. all his missus's luncheon meat out and fucking stuck a keg in there.
I think one of the I'm just going to pop up a stat here. One of the interesting things that came out off the back of this weekend, it's not about this weekend, it's about the season so far, is about Rocker's influence in terms of his passing game. So this is progressive passes. So progressive passes can be defined in multiple ways, but most of it is either passes into the opposition's area or over 15 or 20 metres or 30 metres in your own half into the opposition half. So, but they're all completed passes. And you look at that, and he is right up there with the likes of De Bruyne in terms of those progressive passes. So, I mean, it was a poll option. So I'll just cover it quickly here and then we'll come on to the poll because it didn't win. I've had a sneak peek. Is Smarty, I'll come to you for this one. Is what Rocker does for us flying under the radar?
I think in large parts it does, because the attacks break down shortly afterwards, don't they? I mean, for me, I know that Brendan Aaronson's been given a bit of an hard time by a lot of people, and rightly so, if I'm being totally honest. because he does a lot of nothing. We've said a bit about him in, you know, previous pods and whatever. I think it's time for him to perhaps step back, and maybe it's time for Rutter to take his place and see what he can do. But with the likes of Somerville and Sinisterra, now we've got obviously Nonto and stuff, that's definitely going to, you know, more than amplify our efforts going forward. So when you've got that sort of attacking threat in front of you, plus obviously we've got Bamford as well. Don't forget Bamford's coming back as well into the team. You know, you've got more attacking threat. So, you know, for me, yeah, he does largely go unnoticed. But I think we'd know if he wasn't within the team, if you know what I mean. We'd definitely notice if he wasn't in the squad.
Oh, he works hard. He works hard as fuck.
He does, yeah. Graphs,
he's a pest. He's a pest. Mm. But my theory... Sorry, I know you haven't come to me yet, but I'm going to tell you.
No, you're fine, go.
My theory on Aaronson is he plays better against teams that play football. He almost against teams that sit back and play a low block, then he almost feels like he's got too much time, and it's really frustrating. He just takes that one touch too many, and he loses possession quite often. When you watched him against Chelsea and Arsenal and the other games, when he knew he didn't have long on the ball because they were counter pressing, they wanted to win the ball back as quick as possible. His one touch and his two touch stuff was fabulous, and he was really good to watch, and he excelled in those games. I think with Aaronson, we need to be able to pick and choose his games for me. He's still a young lad. He's still breaking. Some people take a bit more time to adjust to the Premier League, and I think it will come with him. And I think every minute he's on the pitch, he's benefiting that because he's learning that actually I can't take that extra touch there against this squad and against this style of team. But yeah, that's my theory on Brendan. He hasn't been good enough recently, and he has lost a lot of possession. But
he's still a good player, though.
You know, absolutely.
Start getting bashed for saying I think he's a fantastic.
He played well against
player.
Brentford.
If you remember, before Jack Harrison turned into the absolute beast in his first year in Premier League and stuff like that, he was pretty lightweight and stuff, and he used to get knocked off the ball relatively easy as well. And then he did that summer camp in the States and came back an absolute monster. You know, if Aaronson can do something similar, I won't say get in this, you know, pump a load of roids and get in gym and come out like a right chuffing stacked beefcake. But if it could just work, you know, a little...
We don't need like a Traore, do we?
Like a stack of tyres is Jay. No, if he can work on something like that, he's fantastic. He's great for getting out, wriggling out a little space and stuff. He's just like you said, Luke, he's ball carrying and stuff like that. It takes too long. And I don't think he's the only one. I think Rodrigo suffers with that as well. I think he sometimes takes too many touches. But he's definitely been better in the last few games, actually. I really are liking Rodrigo's minute. He's fantastic. But yeah, Aaronson, I think a little break out of the team. Let's see what Rutter can do. And then, you know, hopefully he can impact front bench a little bit and then, world's his oyster in it, I suppose, but we'll see.
Yeah, just going back to the rocker and the progressive passes, and it was Martin Riley that did that there, if I remember correctly, wasn't it, Gilly?
I'm not sure if he posted it, and I was talking to him about it after the fact. I don't know if somebody
else... So anyway, I have seen that, and it almost screams to me, how good would he be in a team that had control of every game? You know, if he was playing the Rodri role at City, for instance, or elsewhere in a team that was, you know, in the top half or even the top five or six, which takes me on to the next point, is he's almost trying to do two jobs in there. He's been asked to do a bit of Tyler Adams, and he's almost trying to do a bit of Calvin Phillips. You know, he's almost trying to do two roles. He's trying to break up play, and whereas I think we need him with a little bit more time on the ball, so his passing is a little bit... It's clear his passing is good, and his progressive passing is good, but it always tends to be that he's giving it to somebody who hasn't got a lot of time, he's giving it to somebody's feet, and they tend to lose it. Aaronson, for instance, or Harrison, or whoever else he's passing it into. Now, if we bring somebody in, and I'm not going to talk about this too much because I know we're going to potentially talk about it later, and we look at potentially a little bit, you know, shifting and moving the formation around slightly, I think that might be his role. And then these two other players will probably sit a little bit more and do a bit more of the dirty stuff.
Okay. No, that's fair. So I think the one question just before I wanted to move on, in terms of Aaronson, Luke, You said that he'd had a good game, but is it a bit of kidology for March saying that that was his best game or one of his best games for us?
Absolutely.
Is that a bit of chronology?
Yeah, completely. It wasn't his best game, but he's not going to come out and say it was shite. He's not going to say to the media, "Yeah, that was his fourth worst game for us," or his fourth, Marsh is very much a motivational coach, and that is what he's good at. He's good at keeping players, and it's clear week in, week out, whether we're getting pumped and we're getting beaten and when we're played shit, the players still run for him and they play for him. And it's been apparent throughout the season. And that is what I will give Marsh credit for. You can't take it away from him that he is good at getting those players running about, and whether it be chaotic or nuts, then he's... But they do. They run for him. There's a lot to be said for playing for somebody who you want to play for at any level. I've played rugby for coaches that I can't fucking stand. And it transpires onto the pitch. So, it wasn't his best performance for us by a long shot. But I think Marsh is just being very clever with how he talks that. And it might not look clever to us lot as a fan because we've watched the same game with our eyes. However, he doesn't want to be tending a player off the pitch thinking he hasn't had a good game, realistically. Yeah. And I think that's all he's doing there.
No, that's fair. That's fair. Right. Mr. Smart, hope you're ready for this one.
Twitter poll results.
Over to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Matthew. Each week, we ask the listeners to choose the main subject for the pod via a poll on our Twitter account. And I have not been responsible for this one this week.
Is that why there's no spelling mistakes?
Shoot from the hip. Yes, probably. That's why. This week's options are, does what Rocker does well for us go lives under the radar? We've obviously just covered that one. What's the pecking order up front? More signings and Werber doesn't concede goals. Are we building momentum? The winner with 43% of the vote was Weston versus Unahi versus ? So we kind of knew that the signings one would win, but there's been a lot of talk recently, especially by our good friend Fabrizio Romano and a few others that have been tweeting about Weston McKennie. I think the Unahi rumours have kind of quietened down since the Weston McKennie rumours. We've also got his eyes on a young Portuguese defender. I don't know too much about that. I don't know if you do, Gilly, because you kind of threw me under the bus here with the signings thing. Weston McKennie, though, it looks like Fabrizio Romano reported an hour ago, talks ongoing between Leeds United and Juventus on conditions of Weston McKennie deal. Discussions also on player side over personal terms. The other option is for Azzedino and Ahi from Angers, but it looks like the Weston McKennie is gathering a little bit of pace. What do we think to that one, chaps? Are we happy with that? Another American?
Not go surprised. On,
do you want me to go first?
Go for it.
I think if you look at McKennie's history and focus on his adaptability, before he moved to Juventus, he was playing in Germany, Schalke, and he was asked to play in the back line. He can play centre back, he can play full back, he can play in midfield, and he will play in defensive midfield. He's been asked to play a bit further forward when he's been at Juve, and he's become a bit more of a box to box player. But he's got that capability in him, so I can see why sides would be interested in signing him. I think for us, having that adaptability is important. We saw how important Stewie was to us in all sorts of positions, played just about everywhere but in net for us, and could probably have done that if we'd have asked him to. So having players that are adaptable like that's important. But I think you look at his age, you look at the fact that he'd be in there with Adams, plays internationally with him. I think the fact that he'd come in with a bit of pedigree, he's played in Champions League. I think that one. I also think he didn't have the best World Cup. But if you compare that with Unahi, where the stories, and I've not seen as much of Unahi as I have McKennie, if you compare the stories and people's input, it's seen that Unahi had a dynamite World Cup, prior to that wasn't quite as good, whereas McKennie had a bit of a quieter World Cup, but prior to that was highly thought of, and that's over a longer period. So I think for me, if it's a straight choice, I'd have Unahi from the World Cup. But if that's not a true reflection of the player, I'm taking McKennie, if that makes sense.
It's like, remember when Robson Kanu had a fantastic Euros and everyone were like, oh, everyone needs to sign this guy, he's absolutely world class. But he
was a free agent when he went to the World Cup.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. He was just an average sort of football player.
Yeah, I've got a story about him. He now runs a company down near me, and he's doing really well for himself. I went and met him actually the other week. He sells turmeric. You know the turmeric shots. Have you seen them ones that are going to be good for all your? Anyway, it's not a really good story, but just thought I'd tell
you. This is put it out on Twitter later.
Fuck me, man.
Hal Robson Canoe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right, okay.
I met him and his dad and his dad's wife. Lovely guy.
I'm a bit buzzing about this Weston McKennie this thing. I mean, because he plays for Juventus. I mean, we've been bumming around in the low and P leagues for so long. We're lifting a bloody player out of Juventus. Smarty. I mean, how fucking great Smarty. Is that?
Where is, isn't it? Liverpool player.
Shut up.
just on Weston McKennie.
Player for Barca, wasn't
he? Oh.
He's gone. He's gone.
He told it to shut up. He's gone.
I think he's fallen off his chair.
From the sky.
He's fallen off his chair. You just see him climbing back up in a set like on little ladders.
give you some lottery numbers, Smarty.
He's back.
Just on McKennie, just one thing worth noting. He plays regularly for Juve, but he has been deployed as a bit of a right wing back with three centre backs the majority of this season. So
after speaking for you, Jeff. Hey.
Great story.
One time at Bandcamp.
I once met Eddie Gray on Tube as well, and he was a couple of steps higher than me, so everyone thinks I'm a midget. But anyway,
thinks.
Weston McKennie. Here we go, Weston McKennie. Yeah, he's a steady player, and I think there's a lot to get excited about with him, especially with the camaraderie he'd bring alongside Adams and Aronson and everything like that. So yeah, look, I'm all over it. But
yes,
for me, do we really want another defensive type midfielder that can cover right back, or do we want to bring somebody in who's exciting who can change a game? I think we're missing that the second. Although we've not seen much of Rutter yet, and then we've obviously got a plethora of young attacking talent on the wings and up top as well. So it's a bit of one of them for me. I know I said at the start of the transfer window, which would I prefer? I want a left back and a striker, but if I was being greedy, I'd want a centre midfielder who was a bit of a utility midfielder who could do a bit of both. Really, I'm not sure Weston McKennie can do that. You know. Cutting edge passing and Hollywood pass and change a game a bit like Pablo was for us and Saez and everyone else. But it's a tough one. Out of the two, if I could pick one now, I would probably say McKennie is the safer option of the two, in that we probably would, he'd probably slot into the team a lot easier and do a job for us. However, I think the riskier option is Unahi, but high risk, high reward for me. I think he'd probably reward us more if it worked out. So very, very tough decision, I think, for the club.
So just on that, actually, in his first... So you're right, in terms of his adaptability and being able to play that more defensive game, and that's what he was doing at Schalke. But in his first season at Juventus, he was actually playing an 8/10 role. And he was criticised for his pass completion rate. But when people were criticising him for his pass completion rate, they were also saying, but that's because he tries the passes that nobody else tries. And that's why, actually, his key passes were higher on average than everybody else. But his completion
rate, we don't want somebody who can't fucking do it.
Yeah, but he takes on the more difficult passes. When they come off, you've got a goal-scoring opportunity. It's just that they don't come off as much as the safe passes. So it's a difficult read, that one. It's also a very different league. It's a lot slower than the Premier League. So if he's trying to key passes and they're not coming off there, I mean, I think if you look at the dynamism that Unahi showed in the World Cup, actually that's what we'd like, because the way that he plays seems to me like a younger, more athletic click. Maybe not the shithousery, but you know, he got about, if you think of his first season back with us, He was getting up and down. He got about the pitch. And it, you know, now he looks like if you're playing a 4-3-3, he's that right side of a three. Rocker could be left side of a three with Adams in the middle. That looks like that could work. So I think whereas McKennie, I think, offers Marsh whatever he wants out of him. Does he want him more further forward? Does he want him to drop in? Does he want him to play wing back? I think he's more adaptable in that manner.
He's a more lead signing, isn't he? You know, we seem to sign players who can play in more, like two or three positions relatively well. So he does look like a safer Leeds type signing. But Fabrizio tweeted an hour ago saying talks ongoing between Leeds United and Juventus on conditions of Weston McKennie deal. Discussions also on player side over personal terms. So we're obviously in conversation. But he also adds on the end, the other option for Leeds is Azzedine Unahi from Angers. So it looks like they're both sort of bubbling. And we probably won't find out for probably don't go to bed in a week's time.
Yeah, that's right. Just another one that we did have a question mark in the poll as well. There was a Diogo Monteiro plays in the Swiss league, 17-year-old. We've already signed a very young, promising, up and coming player from the Swiss league, and he's doing pretty well. I don't think we can read into it from that. He's not going to. You can't expect everybody that you're going to sign from a Swiss league to come in and have that immediate impact. He's very, very. It looks like he's very, very highly rated. Albeit, I think my perception. I don't know what you guys think. I think it's easier to come in and make a difference further forward, further up the pitch as a young player than it is to come in. It seems to me that you can be raw, you can be exciting, you can get on the ball, you can do what comes naturally as an attacking player, whereas you need that bit more of experience behind you as a defender. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that also puts a question mark on players like Cresswell and Hjelde, who we've let go out on loan. Do we expect him to come in and be any better? I assume he's probably going to come in and join the 21s immediately. He wouldn't be a first team. And I know we can't sign him until he's 18, which is why we're waiting until the end of the month or something along those lines. 28th. Yeah, I think 28th he turns 18, doesn't he? So I think we can sign him from then. But I think the question mark, it might just be a future prospect. I don't know enough about him to possibly comment, but I think you're right. I don't think he'd be coming in to make an impact and starting any games anytime soon. But then the sort of devil's advocate in me suggests where does that leave? Where does that leave Cresswell and Hjelde when we've let two promising centre backs go out?
Wanker.
Cheers, Jay.
Who are you saying that to?
Whoever put me back in.
Oh, I thought you'd done it.
Silly.
Get lost from here now. I'm just trying to sort the camera out. Cameras.
Nice one.
Oh, behave now.
Just.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It weren't even me. Children.
That's it now. That's children. Enough. So just, you know, we're in
that's
the
enough.
We're in the region of talking about transfers. We've talked about incoming, but in terms of outgoing, there's a player that strongly links with leaving at the moment. It looks like Jack Harrison might be in talks to join another team. it looks like that team might well be somebody that we're joint on points within the league at the moment, which does worry me somewhat. Jay, are you ready for me to come to you?
Go on, mate. I'll try and.
You're not having a tug. Jeremy Dodgers in the comments asking if you're having
not
a tug.
Not yet, but if you want a private video.
If you want to subscribe to his OnlyFans, he'll leave it in the comments.
Yeah.
How would you feel about Jack Harrison joining Leicester, Jay?
Oh, I'd be gutted, mate.
Lonely pans.
I would be gutted. He's not having the best season, but he's an important squad player for me. He's got that magic in him. He doesn't always do it consistently, and that's why people get upset with him. But he's not a player I'd want to lose, especially to especially to a relegation rival potentially. I don't want to rig on him. See that.
Okay, Luke, come to you. How would you feel?
I think if the price is right for Jackie, look, he's been a great servant to the club. He's another one that's not been consistent enough for me. He excelled in Bielsa's style, working really hard, going back and forward, and literally hugging the touchline. But I don't think we've seen anything like his best since in that second season in the Premier League. I think we've seen touches. And glimpses of what how good he is and what he can do, but I don't think we've seen the very best of Jack Harrison for a long, long time. And I would be reluctantly happy to see him leave for the right price. I think is probably the best way of putting it. And I think that right price.
Is it that West Ham game last January? Was that the best of Jack Harrison?
Probably.
Yeah,
I think his best
season. Come on.
I don't think
him and Rafinha kept us in that frigging league last season. Come on,
I think
it was Joffey and Rafinha at the end of the season.
Yeah, it was Joffey earlier in the season.
Jack scored. He had his fair shares of assists.
I think that's why I'm saying for the right price, because we know what he can offer and we know how good he can be. But to Leicester, I don't know. I think if it was to Newcastle or to Arsenal, I've seen today as well potentially. Then, 30, 40 million, I'd be quite happy with that. But to Leicester, I'd want probably about 50 for him.
Is that just to put him off? I mean, it can't be bad. Yeah. The likes of Arsenal, who've got spending power behind them, and obviously Newcastle have got pretty much bottomless pockets. It can't be bad to have them linked with a player. You don't know how much of it's just agent talk trying to up the price. But it can't be a bad thing to have them linked with the player. I'm one of those that just hates seeing somebody that we've celebrated playing against your team. I don't want him to come back and play Elland Road. Definitely, he's going to score. You just know it. But when it comes to Leicester, they'll probably put
loads of weight on and not play for 3 months.
Yeah, we'd never see a Leeds player leaving us and doing that. I think when it comes to Leicester. Because he's guaranteed to score, but so is Barnes. I think that's the only time I'd be happy to see him go is if Barnes came other way. Take them goals off him.
Why is it good if you went somewhere?
8-7
Ideally, someone he wants to go to Newcastle or somewhere where he's gonna move on to bigger and better things. You know, as much as we get a bit grumpy when players move on or whatever. I want to see
a bit
him
grumpy.
We don't get a bit grumpy, don't we? I mean, look, obviously, some people want to click to leave. I've always valued click. Obviously, we didn't want Rafinha to leave. Some people were probably about 80-20 with Calvin and stuff. But when you see good players leave or retire or whatever, it's kind of like, oh fucking hell. But to be fair to the lad, he's a cracking player in the right hands. He's absolute dynamite, and he'd do really, really well. So, you know, if he does go, then fair play to him. But I think Kev's spot on.
He says it'd be risky. It would be risky, but for the right price, I think realistically, Jack Harrison is probably our third or fourth choice winger now.
Really?
Would you say? Well, I think Gnonto and Sinisterra and Somerville.
But Sinisterra's coming back from injury, so you can't really count him, can you?
Obviously. I mean,
you mean about
fully fit?
Yeah. There's probably fourth choice. And if Rutter can play out there and he's as good as what everyone says, then probably fifth down to fifth choice.
I think when it comes to Rutter, I think we are in that situation where we've spent so much money on Rutter, and he is that supporting forward rather than a striker, isn't he? So it's expected that he's going to be in that three behind a nine. I think in terms of first, second, third, whatever choice, I think Jimmy came in, scored four goals in four games.
Fucking
and
Jesus fucking Christ.
Nontos had, had the impact as well. I have seen these links. We'll come on to it in a sec then. Yeah, I for me, I think because he's first...
Delete that, Jimmy. Delete that.
Cheers for that, Jimmy Neutron.
It looks like Leonardo DiCaprio when he's off his tits in the Wolf of Wall Street.
That's like you on a match day. Fuck me. Rolling around.
Do you know what?
Fucking place.
We've done with that subject. I'm going to go through some of the comments.
Look what you've done.
Oh, he's fuming.
Bandy's looking for Audrey.
You've stolen my ball.
Paul's along. Ollie's that way. How do we feel about the rumours about Bielsa? Sounds like that's dead. I think we all hoped. We all knew.
We said in group it wouldn't. It would a non-starter. Absolutely yeah. Non-starter. Wouldn't have even entertained.
Alison's well, along. Evening all.
Tapping a man into your Alison.
Jay was in the comments earlier. Atkinson, Stanley, nil. Barnwood, nil at half-time. It's 71 minutes in. It's still nil-nil.
What channel's it on?
It's not, I don't think.
No, I won't even go there. unless you're other way, other a total legal ways of watching it.
No, we're not talking about them on the pod. Since you got him, Mr. Werber, things are changing in defence. Lads are not afraid to put his point across on the pitch, always organising, which is a massive plus. I think the one thing that we didn't say is how much he loves a sliding tackle, and isn't that lovely to see?
Yeah,
he's fucking brilliant. Time, eh? Yeah. What a player. What an absolute Rolls Royce player.
He's almost already a cult hero after his first Premier League start, because we've seen what he can do. Like he's just the epitome of Leeds, isn't he? He throws himself about, he doesn't back out of anything, and he does it well. And that's all
that's exactly what we want. Yeah, absolutely.
Carl's busy away in the group chat sharing fucking stupid shit about all these accounts, these random fucking accounts.
I don't know where he finds
them. Are they all anti-vaxxers?
Flat Earth. Like, fucking hell, Carl. Christ.
Right. Skips along. Question for you. Evening, gents. With Cox suspended for the Forest game, does Cooper or Llorente start alongside Werber? The alternative is Strike moves inside and Firpo plays.
Yeah. I'd do that.
You'd do that? Yeah.
I think Cooper might. Cooper won't be fit. So I think that has to happen.
It is a question mark, isn't it? About
I'd
fitness.
Rather have a nudie calendar of all you lot than fucking see Llorente in defence.
Jay's giving us some reason to be cheerful. Forest are unbeaten in six at home. I didn't realise that.
Dad, well done, Jay. You're bad.
Cool.
ESPN Plus is on, boys.
Is it? Paul Brenner's back. We need to beat the teams in and around us. If we can't beat them, we're in trouble. Let's see if we can find... Some points. Luke Hale is now showing Christensen how it's done. Brendan Aaronson needs a rest. Is this Aaronson as well? Poor against Villa and West Ham, decent versus Cardiff. But Charlie's in the comments. Aaronson will be excellent. His time in the gym, still young. Agree with Luke. Oh, dangerous ground that. Pick and choose his games a bit more. No, I think you're right. Those what you're saying about those teams that are coming to play football rather than just sitting in the low block and playing the game in front of them. And then we've got Jamie Dodger in with his few with spam and bean sandwiches to fill him out a bit. Bandy's in. What will the fish-eyed fool do when everybody's fit? Sinisterra, Nonto, Rodrigo, Lord Bamford, Somerville, Ruter, Pillowfeet, Harrison, Aronson, Gellert, Dallas and others. I think Dallas will be like left back.
that sounds like the Beautiful South song of all where he names all the women. Aronson, Gellert, Dallas too.
Dallas is going to come back with a break glass thing across him just in case of emergency. Break it, get him out.
Be on the bench in like a fucking booth.
Song for whoever, that's what it's called. I fucking
it is. It is. Bandy's still on the bandwagon. Our players are not running for Marsh, they're running for the fans. I'm not certain about that. I think that's the one thing that Marsh has about him is he's got those players that are fighting for him. I think it's difficult to argue against that. I like the camaraderie on this channel. That's nice to see. Do you know what? While we touch on that, just like and subscribe and do all of that shit. Sorry, Luke.
Seen nothing yet, Jammy.
When I first read that, I have to admit, my eyes deceived me, and I thought it read, "I like the calamari on this channel."
That's what Carl would have read it as.
Sue Edward.
Or Daniel Cadamartri on this channel.
No, we'll move on from him as well. she said no party. Mackenzie? Solid 8, box to box and strong in the air.
I think he means McKennie.
Guessing that's McKennie. Oh, hang on a minute. McKennie tends to be injury prone. Missed a large chunk of last season at UVA due to injury.
He'll fit right in.
Ah, good.
Yeah, great.
Because Sidra's injured, spend 2 months on bench and come back for a little couple of games at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Otter loves a project.
Jay Michael's comment, you should be on the dinner circuit, Luke. That's your Hal Robson canning story, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's fan Dabby Dozy, all these signings.
I agree. But look, how many of us were absolutely positive that we would not sign anybody this window? Realistically. We were, weren't we? We all had our...
I thought we wouldn't get anything.
I thought we might get a freebie.
There's no way...
I thought they might have just given Forshaw another contract extension to the bear.
And a plastic hip.
Yeah.
Here you go, lad. But yeah, look, you can't deny that they're going for it. I think they've noticed that, actually, the idiotic comments that the owner made very early on in the season or even before the start of the season, he probably realised a bit off more than he can chew, and conversations with our new potential owners have probably decided, look, yeah, we do need to stay in the Premier League because it's worth this much money and it is worth spending this much money to do that.
100%. Yeah, I think so. We're finishing the window, I'd say, significantly stronger than we started it. So you can't not be happy about that.
Well, yeah.
Not about that bit. Times on here, I think the disappointing bit for me is just, you know, we are now addressing those gaps in the squad that we could see in the summer and previous.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's being addressed. That's the important bit. So, yeah.
And apparently it's the 49ers that are pushing it through as well, isn't it? You know, they're not going to want to take hold of the club. Yeah, well, that's exactly it. Yeah, they're not going to want to pick up the pieces once we get relegated, are they? Potentially.
That's it.
So, a bit of investment now.
We'll be on your stand if that happens.
How do you feel about it?
Just before you finish...
Oh, go on.
Go on. You're all right.
Oh, we're moving on to next comment. If you've got something about that.
Next slide.
No,
we lose Jack.
Are you
Harrison,
doing every single comment? We'll be here forever.
No. I've missed loads of them out. I'm nearly there. We lose Jack Harrison. We've got Dan James to come back, as it looks like Fulham are not likely to take up the option to sign him. I don't think we'll see Dan James in a Leeds shirt again. Anybody feel differently about that?
No, I don't. I think he's done. I feel sorry for the lad because he clearly wanted to play for us.
But... I think he's done. I think he should retire, in the words of Prince Nazim.
Skip does say, as I saw against Brentford, Nonto will get doubled up and in games, bringing Harrison on will still give us something else. I mean, we've seen Harrison in the past get doubled up on, in the same way we saw Rafinha. Our explosive attacking players are going to get doubled up on. For me, that is, well, somebody's cheating then.
Somebody, I was just going to Google Harrison getting doubled up on, but I realised I'm on the work laptop.
We need to explore that, though. If that is happening, somebody else should have space, in theory.
I'm not Googling that either.
Question for Matt. No one concerned about the lack of width on right going forward? I think Jimmy and Cynic and Willie. I like Jack on the left, but when... Nonto's been playing there. Harrison's been out. We've got plenty there. I don't think they're being asked to get chalk on the boots, but we've got width there if we want to take advantage of that. And then just the last one. Like I said before, Jesse's got to turn it around, as Mrs. Jesse just ordered a new fitted kitchen.
I just started one of those comments. Can I just come back to it quickly?
Yeah, go for it.
Danny Rumsey mentioned about having two left footers if we played Struyck and Warburg, I'm assuming, at centre-back against Forest. This was never a thing. before Bielsa, this was never, you played two right footers or you played two left footers or you played one of each, you played either side. It was never a thing. Bielsa has installed this into all our heads that you've got to have one left and one right footed. That is not the case.
No, it's
centre back, you're not burying the ball. All you're going to do is fucking hoof it clear. Like, use foot, head, chest, shoulders. Oh.
And if they've got time, they can put it on the strong foot. And if they haven't got time, they shouldn't be dicking about with it anyway.
Yeah, correct. Anyway, end of...
No, round. I agree.
Danny,
with you.
I understand where you're coming from, but I think that's just something that's been installed as to us with Marcelo. Bye, Marcelo.
Well, yeah.
Oh.
What the fuck?
Oh. What's he doing?
What the fuck?
He says what you've been saying and he's come to get you.
Who is it?
It was Carl.
Fuck off, Matt.
I must have been listening to the previous pods because I were kicking off about that a week or two ago, Luke, about everybody going, you can't have two left footers or two right footers at centre back. It's absolutely, it's just, yeah. No, you don't need that. You're absolutely right. Bielsa said that he wanted the balance, and therefore everybody goes, right, well, okay, you can't live without that balance now. And it's just not that, is it?
What does he want? Why is he...
There's a link about Western in group of interest. He's jumped on the live podcast to tell us that he's put a link in the group.
Wow, if
he'd been just listening to the podcast, he'd have known that we talked about it.
We've just ridiculed you on air for about 20 minutes about it, Cal.
Check it out.
Wow.
The Foxhall brother, check it out now.
So I just look across to the cup game that's still going on. We're 82 minutes in. It's still 0-0, Accrington and Boreham Wood.
I hope we get Boreham Wood.
I was just about to ask, which I've said the same. I'd prefer to get Boreham Wood, and it'd be an amazing day for them, especially if, I mean, all of our heads will fall off, but if they can get a replay and get back to Twerland Road. I did see a rumour that they were going to see if they could ask if they could switch to Elland Road so that they could maximise their income. What's the... Smarty, I'll come to... Luke's already said. Smarty, I'll come to you. Which one would you rather play?
Boreham Wood, I think, because they're obviously a lower division and we don't have Barati to karate chop any Accrington Stanley players, so I feel a bit sad. I think that was that last time we played him, wasn't it? Barati's debut and he properly
scored.
Went in.
He scored?
No, Barati. He's a tackle.
He's a tackle at shoulder height, didn't he?
Yeah.
Got sent off.
He scored against Accrington Stanley,
I think that was Fleetwood.
I enjoyed that tackle.
Fleetwood, something like that. I don't know. I can't remember.
Brady scores. We're on the pitch.
We're all about the stats and the info on this podcast. Right.
Somebody's going to get into comments and correct anyway. Either way, the quickest way to find out what you know on the internet is just to say what you know is wrong.
You are wrong.
Right. I'm going to tell your answer.
That bloke that left us that review the other day saying that we didn't know it'll be on to correct us.
This is not a podcast.
These lads might as well just be in pub. Do you know what? Thanks a lot, mate, because that's exactly what we're aiming
for. Exactly our vibe. We are not trying to be, you know, the CEO of a chuffing director or whatever. We're not the square ball or anything like that. We're a load of idiots that are practically doing a virtual pub experience, and you're all welcome along for the ride. I hope you've got a fucking can of Skull.
Exactly.
For the Americans and other privy people that are here that don't know what Skull is, it's a really shit beer.
it's basically like all American beers.
I can get 40.
They are, they're all shit.
Question in the comments. What was that cup game when Warnock scored that cross on the windy day? Was that Yeovil?
That was Yeovil. Yeovil away.
That was Yeovil.
Blue shirt.
It was the blue stripes, wasn't it?
Net flights?
Oh no! But the sky blue, just a plain blue.
Oh yeah.
With a double the panel on side and double lines.
Yeah. I've got Rudy Austin on my version of that.
What a player he was!
Fucking legend, man.
What a player, Jay. The only one that I've not asked the question: Accrington or Boreham? Where would you go?
Boreham would definitely. I want an easier route to the final.
If they beat Accrington, they're not an easier route than fucking Accrington.
It should be for us. Any dog can have its day, Luke.
3 points is 3 points.
So basically, we're going out then against whoever wins.
Nah, we're going to be all right, I think. I don't want to see too much emphasis on it when we're obviously in a bit of a
Do you know the ticket allocations? If we get whoever gets through, if we get Accrington, we get 2,650, which isn't too bad. We only get 3,000 for a Premier League game, and substantially less
of the capacity we get.
Yeah, and then if we get Borehamwood, we get 1,250, which is basically all away season ticket holders. So good luck getting the other three.
Brendan's ghost doing him with an absolute sterling point here. Borehamwood is too close to London for my liking. Bring on the Accrington milkmen. I like it. I'm all for
that. I were looking for it. Can I?
Oh, go on.
Oh, it's not there. Oh, there we go.
In London. That's the fucking difference.
There we go. I didn't see it.
Has he gone back to Cardiff yet?
Oh, he looks more and more like the fucking penguin.
Oswald Gobblepot.
I don't know if he has gone back to Cardiff yet. Have Cardiff even named it? I don't keep an eye on them.
He might have been on his way and then he found out that Frank were going.
You think he's hanging on for that?
Yeah.
It's the lookalike that's going there, isn't it?
Daichi. Oh,
yeah. Oh, God. How are Sean? How was Sean's way over there?
Yeah, we do. We use a loud blocker. We just give it up top to Chris Wood.
Yorkshire Sean. Right, okay.
Where is he from? Is he a Brummie?
No, he's not.
He's down fucking shit. He's down somewhere, isn't he? Yeah, somewhere.
No one knows with that accent.
Sounds like he's chewing on fucking cat litter, doesn't he?
Shitty cat litter.
Gravel in his throat.
Yeah.
So, Smarty. Cup game.
You're not going to ask for a prediction of Borehamwood or Accrington.
No, we're not going to do predictions.
I think the Borehamwood will be a lot tougher. You know, they've got some great wingers and asking us to do an evaluation.
Oh, yeah, I'm absolutely. How do you expect them to line up, Smarty? You've done your work, haven't you?
with width. They'll probably try and target our left wing.
No,
knocked at corner at box.
If we look at the players that we played against Cardiff, so the question for Smarty, so if we look at the players that we played against Cardiff in the first leg and the players that we played against Cardiff in the second leg, how strong a side do you expect to be put out? And if you can name me your defence that you expect to line up.
Let me just write it down while I'm speaking.
So you want us to write it down?
No, I'm going to write it down. I would expect, given that a lot of people have said that they're looking to do some sort of cup run, and it would be good. And I think it'd be good for the fringe players, obviously, as well. Because I doubt they'll go full-blown 21s like we've seen before. I think it'll be pretty much the first 11 with a smattering of fringe players. If it was up to me, I would probably go with Firpo, Verba, probably Cooper and Ayling. Maybe even, no, go Christensen. Yeah, go Christensen.
Or even Drama.
I think. Nah, fuck Drama.
I didn't think Cooper were going to be fit.
I don't think he will.
Okay. It's going to have to
Who's
be.
Who's buzzing?
Jay.
It me.
It's
Jay. Okay, look at that smile.
Firpa, Christensen, Verber and Strike. Maybe in middle, or it's going to have to be Llorente, isn't it?
You won't go Strike and Llorente at middle and give Verber a bit of a rest, given how critical he is to us already.
No. Llorente is not even in the fucking squad. Hopefully he gets lost and finds himself locked in a janitor cupboard in a hotel. Fuck him.
I don't want to see him ever again.
He's just gashing.
Okay. Are we just continuing to play Melier, though? I mean, he's in net.
No, Robles.
We put Robles in. Rick.
Robles,
yeah, I'll probably let him play. Yeah,
fair enough.
I would play.
He does not have Fabregas on for wrists, does he? Would you?
Yeah, but I mean,
remember when you had a fringe?
No, a long time ago.
We've seen that picture of you looking rather suave in a
that's a class. We need to find that picture and get it on here.
Which picture?
That one where you're out.
Oh, the bit of boxing.
No, New Year's Eve picture.
No, you were in a suit. Oh, no, oh, no, right. I'm about
different pictures.
Yeah,
what dressed?
You're in Wakefield, you've got a dress on in a week.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't remember that one. I remember the suit one with the hair.
Smarty's got it as his screensaver, it's in his wank bank.
So, Jay, question for you. Who starts up front? Number nine. Who's your man?
I'd be tempted to play Bamford if he's fit enough. I think
Router. Get him fucking involved.
I don't think he'll get put centre forward, Router. I don't see it. Maybe as a sub, maybe, but I think if he's starting, he might
six
get
six goals on his debut.
I think even Phil Hayes reported that he's going to be involved from start. So you don't know where he's going to be.
I've not seen that.
Router.
Preferably in Boreham Wood or Accrington.
And the right one of the two. I think in terms of playing Bamford, my only concern with that is it's going to be a heavy pitch wherever we are. I'm assuming, it is plain assumption. It's got, but you look at lower league grounds and the pitches are going to be heavy. They're going to cut up. Is he? Can he's made of glass. I think they've asked. I saw a rumor that they'd asked if it would be able to be swapped, or that they might ask if it could be swapped. But I don't think they did ask to get an answer because it's a bit presumptuous that they're going to get through, isn't it? So I don't think they asked the question.
It's been done before, hasn't it?
Has it? I wasn't aware of it.
I think so.
Have a quick Google, Jay, while you're doing note.
What, like rest
so I've got Jay's answer. So, Luke, you've got the midfield.
Fucking hell. It's going to extra time, is this bad boy? Oh, no, it goes straight to penalties, doesn't it? What am I about?
Yeah, I'm going to go with midfield of hopefully some minutes for either Archie Gray or Forshaw if they're back. Probably not, though. I wouldn't play Rocker or Adams, basically. So anybody else who could play in the centre.
Probably Sam Greenwood. Probably
Sam Greenwood. And then one of the other two I mentioned, if they're fit. Am I using the wide players as well or not?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah. So the three and the two. If we assume we're doing 4-2-3-1, you do a three and a two.
Yeah, so, and the other three I'm going to go with. Oh, Gabby. Yeah, Gabby. Actually, Gabby and Greenwood. And then out wide, I'm going to go with Sinisterra for minutes. And probably Jack Harrison.
In the middle, you're going Router if Paddy's up front.
If Paddy's up top, I'm going to go Router behind him. Yeah.
Just on that thing about switching, I just found something from like 2003. It says a lucrative and controversial loophole that allowed Farnborough to switch their fourth round FA Cup tie against Arsenal to Highbury has been firmly closed by the FA's Challenge Cup committee. From next season, no club will be able to benefit financially from such a switch, and those who move for the wrong reasons could be barred from the competition the following year.
That's shit.
So there is a precedent imagine, better closed off the loophole.
Imagine if we held it for one of those clubs. I mean, probably not so much Accrington because they would want the home advantage, but a team like Boreham Wood, imagine if we filled Ellen Road and gave them half of the money, for instance.
Yeah, Bielsa would have forced us to draw with them.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the other side to it is with a side of that size and stature and standing in the game is having us in town, that's going to live long in the memory of the club because there's always a community feel of a club that size. You know, you end up with people that are close to
or even worse within the community. It could be do a Histon.
Yeah, and how amazing would that be for them to beat us in their own backyard? So I get the point. If you're looking at it purely fiscally, just from a purely financial sense, it makes sense. But the other side to it is, you know, there's always a lot of talk around the magic of the cup. That is Premier League teams going to these little grounds and seeing people in trees and on balconies and you know, can't get tickets, so they're in. What? There was somebody stood on back of a van in first round, I think it was, looking over the side at Boreham Wood.
That cherry picker,
exactly. Yeah. So I think
you'd need one anyway, wouldn't you?
You pretty much better take one everywhere I go.
Joffy at 10's a good shout, Danny Rumsey.
Sinny and Harrison, Joffy at 10. Yeah. Again, you know, you said to give Sinny some minutes. Joffrey's crying out for some minutes, isn't he? So that's not a bad shout at all.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Cool, okay. I feel like we're just about to come to a close, but I also know, or I'm hoping, that one of you is going to be ready for a bit of this.
Auto no better!
With Rachel Abadeji.
I've got a very serious one this week, and it is with BBC Match of the Fucking Day.
That's its full name.
Match of the fucking day. And I'll tell you why. Because the complete and utter bollocks of a match review that they gave us was absolute dog shit, and it focused completely on the negatives in it from a Leeds perspective, and almost praised Thomas Frank for playing a low block. So it was almost praising shit football. We had Troy Deeney on there, and then this clown Keown, who did nothing. I mean, I agreed with part of what he said, but when he started using the word Bellini instead of Bologna, I just thought, you fucking tit. it was just absolutely poor. So they focused heavily on Leeds having 9 shots and not scoring, meaning we would need 18 in any game to score a goal. Simply not true. He didn't focus on the fact that we absolutely negated Brentford for 90 minutes and they didn't register a shot on target for the first time ever in the Premier League. The XGs were 0.29 to 0.4 for Brentford, but depending on how you look at it, where you look at it, and ours was 0.48. So we actually what they didn't say was we outplayed Brentford, who were 8th in the league, flying, haven't lost in 5. But they put a negative spin on it to then attack Jesse Marsh in his style, and that's just bollocks. And the amount of Leeds fans that fell for that and decided to tweet about it was absolutely appalling. And if you believe it, you're as dumb as you look.
And that is an auto no bitter. Excellent. Mm. Anybody else got one?
Not particularly.
Okay. Well, that means you've got one.
No, not really. Something I want to laugh at rather than sort of be angry about, which was, I don't know if any of you have seen it on Twitter today, but Steve, the Everton fan, who was on TalkSport. If you've not seen it, you've got to find it. There's a video of it. If I'd thought I'd have put it in for us. But he was very emotional, this guy. He was on with White and Jordan this morning, so we were talking bollocks. And it was we need Sean Dyche, all this, and they were like,
I've heard it. He starts crying, doesn't he?
Yeah, we can't get Bielsa. He can't speak. He doesn't understand. He won't be able to handle this dressing room.
Clip this.
It was brilliant.
Another classic. That.
I wasn't aware that Bielsa was mute and couldn't speak and didn't.
Have we still got Jay's Jamie O'Hara impression anywhere?
I don't think we have. I'm afraid.
That's a shame.
Fucking hell, lads.
Hang on a minute.
Fucking hell. Oh, Leeds have sold Rafinha and they've sold Calvin Phillips and they've brought in now bodies. Oh, they're going to struggle.
How long's O'Hara been Scottish?
There you go.
Hey, I'm not allowed. I'm not afraid to look daft on Paul. So.
It's a good job. Cool. Right. Okay. I think we're pretty much done. Quick scan of the comments. Anyone?
Luke Thompson. Just quickly.
Oh, go on.
Just quickly. Don't forget, as ever, the Animan and his man club.
Well done.
Every Monday in Leeds, if you do want to visit, there are lots of our viewers, listeners, and friends of the pod who do use this service. If anybody is struggling, mail, get yourself to Andy Manns. If you are a woman and you are struggling, there are alternatives out there, I am sure. Specifically for the guys out there struggling, Andy Manns Club, we just do like to do a little bit promoting for, because Andy's Man. Andy's Man Club.
Andy's Man Club. Not Andy Manns Club.
just that.
And then just a lot of builders just sat around drinking tea.
Handyman. Just loads of failed brickies that are just labelled themselves handymen.
Joiners, plumbers, sparkies, builders, they fucking hell, it's like this.
It's a great club. What a club.
Christ.
Right, but no, okay. In all seriousness. Yeah. And then the other thing, please smash the like and do subscribe to us because we are pressing, relatively funny.
It. We don't want to damage times. Anything.
But no, to echo Luke's point, it is really important. Part of what we're doing here and trying to grow, get it out to other people. It is important for people to subscribe, but also to give us a bit of feedback, getting the comments for us, but also getting the reviews on however you're consuming the content from us. And as ever, to everybody that's been involved in the comments, it is a big deal for us that you get involved in the comments. We like to see your comments, and it's great for us to be able to see the activity going off and giving Luke, giving Jay, giving Smarty some shit. I think I got away with it largely tonight, so that's not so bad. But I think that's just because I didn't back Marsh. So it's not great either. but on that note, we shall bid you farewell. And as ever, thank you for being with us.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the Independent Leeds United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke after-match podcasts. We have 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.